Hey, good morning, good evening, good afternoon. This is your guy, Larry, and you just tuned into Black Nerds Biblecast. I'm so glad that you tuned in today. Today is going to be a wonderful lesson. We're going to be getting into a story or a message in the Bible called Jesus Calms the Storm. This is going to be just a little bit about, you know, the storms of life. You know, in the midst of everybody talking about, you know, God going through the things that we've been going through in life, situation like, for instance, the coronavirus, the pandemic that's going on. Maybe some of you guys are quarantined, don't want to be quarantined, or, you know, going to the grocery stores and finding the shelves empty. This all kind of stuff, right? Instead, are you going to be in a state of panic or a state of calmness? Well, this episode here is still a message about Jesus on the journey to the cross. But in the midst of this, we took a slight detour ourselves and got into this story called Jesus Calms the Storm. So we're going to be talking about that, reading a little bit about that. Listen, there's storms that happen in your life, happen in my life, but Jesus himself understands and understands full well that he's in control, and he was the one that was able to calm the storm. So what happens in your life where you're going through a storm and it doesn't seem like he's worried, just like you not worried, like you should be worried, okay? If you're worried, we shouldn't be worried, okay? So you know what? We're going to get into this. This story is found in the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, okay? Get your Bibles out. Follow me as we read through this little bit of a passage right here. We're going to talk about it, man. This might be something you might listen to, might encourage your faith and whatnot, okay? So journey with me as we talk about Jesus that calms the storm. All right, you have a wonderful day, and sit back and relax and enjoy this next episode of Black Nerds Biblecast. Hey, good morning. How's everybody doing? Hopefully you guys are having a good week so far. And in the midst of all the things that we've been going through, I've been just like some of you have been in the middle of, you know, this pandemic and, you know, all things about the coronavirus. A lot of our cities being shut down, states even. And so it's been quite a experience so far. This is a time where obviously, you know, the Lord wants us to not be in fear, but be aware of the things that go on in a time like this. There's so much to think about, you know, when there's a situation that just comes out of nowhere. And sometimes, you know, it kind of disrupts your life, interrupts your routine. You know, some people have plans on going on vacation. Some people have plans on just doing some of the, they don't have to always be major things, but some minor things, you know, maybe events and parties and things like that. And unfortunately, because of this huge disruption that turned into a worldwide pandemic as we speak. And, you know, it's funny. I'm hoping that years later, as we, you know, look back at this, you know, we look at this as a historical event and learn from it, learn exactly why, you know, what we did during this time, and what was your thoughts and what was my thoughts and things like that. What was the actions that we took? You know, I really feel like this is a time in which the church really needs to stand up and come forward and really be, you know, used in a way that God has called the church to be, you know, being strong and being the body of Christ. And so, I like you, I've had a lot of thoughts about, you know, the goings ons and stuff. I've been watching the news and things like that. And, you know, I put it this way. The Lord, first of all, he's not surprised we're surprised, you know. He's not surprised by anything that comes up. He knows something like this would have happened, just like the same time we had an event like 9/11. When we had that event, God knew that these things was going to happen. And so it's real interesting to see, you know, the reactions of people sometimes. I mean, I can understand definitely those that do not have a relationship with God. They, you know, they're left with their own understanding, trying to figure out, you know, why something like this would happen out of nowhere. Some of them even question, is there a God, or why would God allow this to happen? Or some even go on the opposite end and say, God is doing something that's judging the world and things like that. So, you know, and, you know, again, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in the midst of something like this. And so it's kind of really, really interesting to see this. But I kind of come away with a different perspective on things, not so much as to what God is doing or not doing, but what we can do in the midst of this and what we can learn from it. The one thing that I definitely kind of come away with this is that God is still in control. Now, that might not be a suitable answer for some of you out there, but God really is in control. He has not ever stopped being in control. And I have to honestly say, because God is who God is, and he's all powerful, all knowing. And yes, there are things that we will just never, ever understand. There are things that will happen in our lives, in your life, in my life, that we'll just never understand. It's no rhyme or reason. There's no reason behind it. You know, there's no like, okay, no why, you know. So I just wanted to kind of bring my thoughts into this on this. But also, as some of you may know, we've been going through the chapters leading up to, you know, the life of Jesus and as he was, you know, here on earth and with his disciples, and how the experiences, certain events were happening around that time. One thing I will say about Jesus was he had 40 something years to fulfill what it was what God had called him to do. And the main thing was to ultimately die for the sins of man, be the sacrifice for all mankind. Okay, that was his main purpose. And with that being said, he fulfilled that purpose. And not only did he was a sacrifice for all mankind, but then after that he defeated death by taking on sin and defeating sin, which that would have been on us. So he took that, it became sin, was buried sin, and therefore sin has no more power over you, no more power over me. Raised to life, meaning that victoriously resurrected. Okay. And I say all that because there's a lot of events that are happening that has happened leading up to this point. And that's why, you know, I love going through this and talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because without the resurrection, we don't have victory. Without the resurrection, without Jesus Christ being resurrected in full bodily form, defeating sin, defeating that, you know, we wouldn't be talking about Easter celebrations and stuff. I don't know about you, but regardless of whether there is a coronavirus and things like that that's going on in the world, catastrophe, there will always still be an Easter. There will always still be a victory. There will always still be a resurrection. And the reason why I say that, because there's always a brighter side eventually that's going to come. In other words, it might be darkness, but sooner or later, sun will come up in the morning. You know, like they say, there's a scripture that says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And that's the same thing. This is the same thing. I want to encourage some of you out there that no matter how dark it gets, no matter how dark it gets, God will come through. He will bring you through this. Listen, there are times where he's not going to take the storm away, but there's times where he's going to take you through the storm. Okay. He's going to take you through the storm. Okay. There's times where he's going to stop the storm or calm the storm, but he will take you through it. He will. And what do we learn from it? And how do we get through it? Right. There's a lot of things that happen in your life and my life. And we just not sure whether we can even get through it. But you know what? God, because God knows. He knows the beginning for the end. So I want you to go with me as we go into this scripture here that we're going to read. This is also part of the journey from Jesus to the cross journey to the cross. Okay. And this is a part of it. So we're going to read a part of this, and this takes place in the book of Mark. And Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And we're going to quickly read this here. And then after that, we're going to talk a little bit about it. Okay. So this is entitled Jesus Calms the Storm. So that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, we're talking about Jesus, let us go over to the other side. 36 says, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat, and there was also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. This is verse 38. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still, he said. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Verse 41, they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. We're going to be right back. We're going to talk about this, so stay tuned. Hey, so we're back. So we're going to be talking about, let's go back into, Mark chapter 4, excuse me, verse 35, entitled Jesus Calms the Storm. So we see here, first of all, it starts off, this part of the story starts off where it says that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Now, there's two things I want to talk about right here. One is it says when evening came. So in other words, we can assume that this could have been maybe nighttime. So when they say evening, okay. And the reason why I want to start off by saying this, because, you know, like anybody, like I watch, sometimes you watch movies or you see a show or something like that. Like me, I might watch a movie, and a movie also presents a story. Kind of presents the situation at hand, or the atmosphere, or what have you. In other words, it's setting it up, and this is no different right here. This here is starting to, if you look at this, this is setting up to where what will eventually happen. As of course we've already read this, so we're going to talk about it. So it's saying here, it says the evening came, and he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. And the reason why I want to talk about that is because you know to put a footmark there and recall and remember, this is what Jesus said. A lot of times in life, when storms happen, we tend to forget quickly, as a matter of fact, in some cases. what God has originally said. So God originally tells us something, says, you know, this is what I'm going to do in your life, or this is what this is going to happen eventually. And we tend to forget sometimes the thing that God has ultimately said in the very beginning. Okay. And this here situation is no different. So we read here, it says, "And the evening came," which was nighttime, but then he turns around and tells his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." I almost almost say that Jesus had already knew what was going to happen. He also made plans to talk about that. So he knew that this was going to be a lesson to be said. Now, another thing to not forget, when Jesus says, "Let us go over to the other side," that's literally what is going to happen. When you start off, you know, we're going to get to a destination. We don't know what's going to happen on the way to that destination. We don't know whether we're going to encounter some kind of problems. Some of us God may say, you know, "I'm going to bless you with this," or, you know, the Lord's going to open the doors for you to maybe get a brand new house, or maybe one day you'll be married, or one day you'll have a spouse, or, you know, this, other words, those are destination points. And with that being said, we don't know what's going to happen on the way to that. You know, you might be one that might be thinking to himself that, "Oh, well, I know the Lord promised that, you know, I'll have a family," or what have you. But on the way to the other side, you don't know. You're unaware that on the way to the other side, or to that destination, you may have, you know, some problems getting there. There may be some issues getting there. You might be one that need a job or trying to get a job, but then you end up losing a lot of things in the process before getting that job. You might be one that say, you know, you want a family or want to be married, but you may go through several bad divorces or several bad relationships before you get to that finally good relationship. So there's always these different things that even though God tells us this is what, you know, he's talking about where he wants to take us. But there's always, other words, there's always something on the other side that he wants to take us. But in the midst, or as we're going toward that other side, there's also some problems, or there might be some struggles, there might be some ups and downs. And I'm not saying that this is a guarantee, because everybody's situation, your situation is different than mine, my situation is different than yours. You may not encounter any problems at all, but a lot of times when God tells us something, there is something on the way to that destination sometimes. And know this, that parentheses, or that hyphen point, from the moment that God tells you, "Let's go to, this is what's going to happen, this is where I want to take you," to the point where you actually get there, those are some learning points. So a lot of times that hyphenate area that we don't know what happens between the time he talks to us to the time we get to the other side, we really don't know what it is that's what we're going to encounter. These disciples, they didn't know that there was going to be a storm, obviously, but I guarantee the only person that we do know who knew that a storm was coming, and that was Jesus. Okay. And yet, though Jesus knew that there was a storm coming, he still told them, "We're going to get to the other side. Let us go to the other side." He didn't even make a promise. He didn't say, "We're going to get to the other side," because you know what? He never prepares you in advance as to what is going to happen. That's another thing. Do you notice here? Jesus never prepares them for the storm. even though I'm sure that he probably knew that there was a storm coming, but he never prepares you for that storm. Okay. Now listen to this. Verse 36, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along. Okay. They took him along just as he was in the boat. It says there was also other boats with him. Now I think this is very significant. I'm not sure of the significance of this, but I think that this is pretty interesting that they said that there was other boats along with them. Verse 37, though, is when the problem happens. So notice this. It says in verse 37, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Okay. This is all in verse 37. This storm came out of nowhere. It was a violent storm. It said furious squall. So this was a storm that was very furious or very violent. Okay. In some cases, and it came with waves. It came with probably thunder and lightning and then, of course, rain that was probably going sideways. So remember your storms. And even in this case, this storm was one of those things where it had different characteristics about it. It was furious. It was violent. I'm sure it was, like I said, full of lightning and devastation and all this stuff. Okay. This was not a normal, this was not just a little bit of a, like a small rain or what have you. This wasn't that. Okay. This was something that was very, it was intimidating. Even because it got to the point where they was in there to, we don't know how long they were in there for in the storm. I mean, but it didn't seem like they were going to survive. And the reason why I say that is because of the statement that they make. Okay. So let's look at verse 38. Now, in the midst of this storm, where was Jesus? Remember, Jesus was with them in the middle of the boat. Okay. And it says Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion of all things. He was sleeping on a cushion, it says. And then it says the disciples woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Okay. He said, "Don't you care if we drown?" Now, it's amazing for them to say this question. I think that for some degree, they probably was like, you know, here they were. They were trying to, like they say, batten down the hatches, put down the sail so the sail maybe won't rip open with the winds and stuff like that, the violent winds. So, and they were trying that. They probably had some kind of steering wheel or what have you. So all depends, you know, I'm not sure exactly what kind of boat this was. I'm not sure whether this couldn't have been a huge ship. So it had to be like a little small boat. I'm sure that the water didn't seem to be turbulent at the beginning because they didn't have a problem with getting into the boat. If the rain was coming and it was wind and everything else, I'm sure they would have warned him. And probably at this point, we're not going to get in the boat. So remember, it's funny because this is typical of life in general. Life never shows you again what's going to happen. You'll start off and everything is calm. Everything is sunny. Everything is decent. There's no other thing that's coming your way that you can see. You know, like they say, that song, I'm reminded of a song. What's that song? Bright, sunny, going to be a bright, shiny day. I can see clearly now that the rain is gone, right? That's how it happens in the very beginning. Okay. That's how it happens in the very beginning. You don't see no kind of storm, no kind of thing that's going to really mess you up or anything, nothing intimidating, nothing that's going to ultimately cause any problems for you. So it's okay to get in the boat. Okay. So I think this is pretty interesting and pretty amazing at the same time. But again, at the same time, this is typical. This is really a typical thing. Okay. Now, he's saying, where is Jesus in the midst of this? Now, have you ever thought about that? That when you're going through problems and you're going through situations, maybe you're going through a storm where everything is crazy, and you start praying and you're asking God, where are you? You know, God, are you there? Or do you even care? Like the disciples say, the disciples said to him, to Jesus, he says, teacher, don't you care if we drown? And now this is one of the things that I noticed that about Jesus, that nothing seems to worry him. Do you know that the storms in your life, in my life, God's not worried about them. He's not worried about him. He's not worried about it doesn't worry him what you're going through. I'm not saying that he's not concerned, but I am saying that he doesn't worry about them. He's not afraid. He's not fearful. It doesn't take him by surprise. And even if it was something that he didn't know, Jesus understands that he's in control of all things. And you know what? That's kind of how we should be. Our attitude should be, you know what? God is in control. He's got this. He's not worried about it. So why should I be worried about it? Okay. So there are several things that we have to take from this small little story that we're reading here. Okay. Now these people, these disciples, they were afraid for their life. They couldn't understand why Jesus wasn't the same. Have you ever been around people? Maybe you might be one that, maybe you're a person that has that keeps everything calm in your life, and people around you says, I don't understand why you're not worried. You're not concerned. I don't understand why you're not. Here you are. You got all these things going on in your life. How come you're not worried about it? Right. And a lot of times, if you have the peace of God, remember, the Bible tells us that he give us peace that surpasses all our understanding, that surpasses all understanding. OK, so he gives us a peace. That means that he gives us a peace that is in the middle of a storm, in the middle of bad situations, in the middle of what can be a very bad. Well, what it really is, not to say that it doesn't exist. It really does exist. But he does not worry so much about that he lets that be the thing that's going to, you know, take him off his course. Okay. He doesn't let that bother him. And you know what? It's hard. I know it's hard to say, because sometimes we do allow things to happen in our lives, or see things that happen in our lives, and we react to the situation. The worst thing that we can do sometimes is we react to the situation at hand. You know, our reactions are not always appropriate, and we can't trust our reactions, just like we can't trust our emotions sometimes. So here he is. Jesus is in the bottom of the boat. OK, he's in the bottom of the boat. He's sleeping in the middle of a storm. They can't understand why is he so calm in the middle of the storm. They ask him, don't you even care that we drown? We may drown. We may not make it out of here. You know, they said that. They said we may drown, or if we drown, it says. Then his response was, after he woke up, it sounded like, I remember I heard somebody say that when they woke him up, he was upset because he was woken up out of his sleep. But I think that this was not so much he was upset that he was being woken up out of his sleep. I think he was more, I would say, halfway irritated that the fact that these men had no faith. Okay, so he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Now let's stop right here and talk about this real quick. Actually, you know what? Let's hold on for a minute, and we're gonna take a quick little break. And then we're going to be right back. But hold that place, and we're going to be right back, okay? Okay, welcome back. So, did you hold your place like I said? Okay. We're in verse, for those of you that still held your place, we're in verse 39 of Mark chapter 4. So it says here, it says, he got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Now he says he got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves. He said there was two things that Jesus did. Basically, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet and be still. You notice right here, he actually spoke to the elements. He spoke to the wind, in other words, the nature. He spoke to the wind and he spoke to the waves, the water. Okay. And he told them both. Number one, the wind to quiet and be still probably was the waves, because the waves were tossing to and fro. Okay. It's amazing. This is where the disciples really saw the authority that Jesus had, that the authority that was actually given to him, okay, by the Lord himself, by God himself. In other words, Jesus came up, Jesus stood, and he immediately rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet and be still, at his command. This was an amazing thing, okay, that you can even almost say, excuse me, you can almost say too, that the whole reason for this storm was for the disciples to see the authority that Jesus had. You know, you can almost see that in this. You can almost see that, because Jesus was able to sleep in the boat, you know, without any care, and even in the middle of a storm, was to show them that, first of all, you know, don't worry about the storm that is happening around you, because I'm in control. At any point, if I decide to stop the storm, all I need to do is to speak to the storm and tell it to be still, tell the winds to quiet down. Do you know that that's what goes on in our lives when it comes to God? There's times where there's a storm going on in our lives. You may have all kind of financial problems, or maybe job problems, maybe issues in family and stuff like that. And God, all he has to do in your situation, in your particular storm, and gets up and just says, you know what, quiet down and be still. Okay. Sometimes all he has to do is speak to the elements. Now, I want to kind of go on here, because there's actually more to this point than just the fact that he got up and spoke and quieted down the storm and spoke to the storm and spoke to the waves. But it also says here, he makes a statement. He says, why are you so afraid? And he says, do you still have no faith? Now, this is some really amazing thing. And honestly, in my opinion, I think that, and I'm not kind of belittle disciples for this at all, because I think the disciples, you know, because of the fact that the storm is so real, this was not something that was pretend. This was something made up. This was not something that was not happening. This was really happening. And they were afraid for their lives. They were afraid that they weren't going to make it through. Okay. And, you know, personally, I feel like I probably would have been the same way at that time. Okay. There are times, honestly, that I can honestly tell you right now that I've been through situations that I have totally forgot about God being there, right there in the midst of with me. Okay. And this is also another thing to recall or to talk about, is the fact that a storm that happens doesn't mean that God is not with you. It doesn't mean that at all. He's right there in the middle of your storm, right along with you. So, in other words, you might as well say what's affecting you is also affecting him. Okay. Jesus was in the boat. He wasn't outside the boat. He was in the boat, but his reaction to the storm was different. Their reaction was of terror and worry and concern. His reaction was that of one being asleep and resting in the midst of the storm. It didn't bother him. When he woke up, though, or when he was awoken, yes, it did bother him. It did bother him, and it bothered him not because of anything him. It bothered him because of the fact that his disciples didn't have faith. They said, why are you so afraid? Okay. It says they were terrified and asked each other, he says, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Now, listen, this was just one statement in which Jesus made to the disciples. He told them, why are you so afraid? Okay, why do you still have no faith? Okay, remember, God operates in the area of faith. The wind and the waves obeyed him. These are the things that the disciples saw. And remember, I said it might not even been so much the fact that he was trying to show them or ask them why are they so afraid, and that what might not have been the main point. Maybe the main point was also in this is to show his disciples what kind of authority that he truly has in order to be able. Okay, to be able to calm the wind and to quiet the waves, or to tell the waves to stop and be still. That might have been the case. We don't know. But here we are with this situation at hand. Here we are understanding now with this situation in front of us that we know that, number one, like I said before, your situation and my situation is not out of the realm, out of God's control. God is in control, even in the midst. And so what is our reaction? What is it that when we go through these things, how should we respond? I think that if you're afraid, like I would be afraid, okay, because I'm not saying I'm any more different than you are, but if I'm afraid, then I'm going to call on the Lord. I'm going to ask the Lord. These disciples, this is one thing they did do. The disciples called on Jesus. Jesus was asleep at the bottom of the boat. And what did they do? They called on him. Now, if you're in a storm of this nature like this, or a storm of your life, Lord, so to speak, not literally, but in a problematic situation, guess what you're going to do? You're going to call on the Lord. You're going to call on God. And listen, there might be times where he might be asleep. You know, actually, that's actually, I would say, incorrect, or not even biblically correct. But because remember, there's a verse that said he never sleeps, he never slumbers. So he's always aware. Okay, so he is always aware. So he may not respond right away, but he is definitely, definitely aware of whatever the situation is. In other words, your situation and my situation does not surprise him, does not come out of nowhere on him. It comes out of nowhere on us, and it does surprise us, but it doesn't never surprise him. He understands full well that this is a what kind of storm it is and everything. But he wants us, according to how he responded to the disciples, he wants us, number one, not to be afraid, not to have fear. Okay. Be concerned, but not to have fear. And then he wants us to have faith. Those are the two things. He said, why are you afraid? He told the disciples, and he asked them, do you still have no faith? Okay, there's two different things right here. Listen, this is where, so I'm gonna end this, but I want to end this with taking this to what we have going on right now. Right now, we're in the middle of what you call a pandemic. We are in the middle of what the news and everything else says is a crisis. And yes, I'm not trying to, you know, water down the fact of what it is. It is something that we have to take precautions over. We got to take measures, meaning that we got to protect ourselves, keep ourselves social distancing. We got to, you know, wear protective gear at some points and things like that. And, you know, stay indoors and things like that. So it can appear to be pretty, this could be something that is definitely, something that's pretty big. I mean, not to mention that not only are people getting sick, but they're actually dying. Okay. And then sometimes if you're like me, sometimes you turn on the news and you see the numbers of people that are sick throughout the United States and those that are dying, not to mention those that's in the entire world. So yes, this can be a pretty intimidating time and a pretty scary time for a lot of you. And you know, so what is the answer to this? What is the solution? If there is a solution, number one, the storm is not going anywhere. Remember, he starts off in this parable or in this story about Jesus calms the storm. He says, let us go on to the other side. Let's go over to the other side. Remember, in the middle of a storm, what has God told you or what he has told me before? Before this happens, okay? He says, let us go to the other side, okay? This is one of the things. This is one of the things that sometimes when a storm happens, we forget the first thing God says. Sometimes some of us have might have prayed and said, the Lord says, I'm going to get you through this, or, you know, I'm with you. Even the word may tell us that I'm going to be with you no matter what, no matter what. And you know something? There's a lot of times God has told us that. And just because you go through a storm and it seems like you're not going to survive, does that make anything God say any less true? No, he's still with you. He's still with you going through the storm. But what's the most important thing is that he wants you to have faith. He wants you not to be afraid and have faith. Do you know that if you fear, you don't have faith? If you have fear and you're afraid, where is your faith? Right? So these are the things that we have to remember in the midst of these storms. Right now, we are in the middle of a storm. We are in the middle of a pandemic. This is real. The situation is real. We see the numbers climbing and things like that. And you might be afraid of getting sick, and so am I. But we have to always look at and remember, you know what? God is in the midst of the storm. He's in the midst of the pandemic. You're not going through this by yourself. You're not going through this by yourself, just like I'm not going through it by myself, okay? Matter of fact, he's in the middle of it right along with us, just like Jesus was in the boat with the disciples in the midst of a furious storm, in the midst of a storm that was crashing waves, that was wind was out of control, lightning and thunder, all those things was going on. And what does Jesus do? Jesus says, quiet and be still. Now, there's some point that maybe he doesn't calm the storm in your life, but he calms you. He calms you. He tells you to quiet and be still. Remember, there's a verse that says, be still and know that I am God. Okay, there's a verse that says that. He says, be still and know that I am God. So in the midst of this storm, in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of this virus, the coronavirus, spreading out everywhere through every state, every city, every community, you know, understand that no matter what is going on, no matter what is happening, God, number one, ain't gone nowhere. He's still on the throne, okay? He's still on the throne, all right? So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter exactly what is going on. Do you, like I said, always ask yourself or remember to yourself that, do you think that this is something out of God's control? When you look at the news and you see things that are going on, do you think this is something out of God's control? It's not. It's absolutely not. So remember that. Remember that when you look at the news like I do, and you see the numbers, and you see, you go to the grocery store and there's nothing on the shelves, because there's a lot of that going on right now. You go to the grocery store. I went to the grocery store recently and there was nothing on the shelves. Okay. What is that? How does that make you feel? Does it cause you concern? Does it make you draw you into a panic? Are you one of those people that hurry up and hoard everything and get a whole bunch of stuff because you don't know what's going to happen? Listen, God tells us to be still and not be afraid and have faith. Remember that. Remember that. Don't be so much caught up in the situation that you react to the situation. This is what's going on here. The disciples, they saw the wind and the waves and they reacted. Okay. And the same thing. All right. So remember that, folks. Remember that he says he don't mind us being concerned. He don't mind us being concerned, but the concern should be also followed up with either prayer and say, Lord, you know what, Lord, I know and I trust you. I trust what's going to happen. I trust what you're going to do. I heard a pastor say this one time. He said, the next time when you encounter something in your life, he says, instead of you saying, what am I going to do? You tell the Lord, what are we going to do? Or what are you going to do about this? Lay it back on him. Say, Lord, what are you going to do in the midst of all the stuff that you're going through? If it's a situation that happens, Lord, what are you going to do about this? Don't allow the situation to be to the point where it dictate to you. You talk to it. Remember that. You talk to it. Okay. In other words, the Lord showed us right there. You know what? This is not going to control me. You wake up in the morning. This is not going to cause me fear. You wake up in the morning. I'm going to have a great day. In spite of, that's faith. I'm going to have a great day in spite of all the stuff that I see out there. Listen, just continue to be encouraged. But if of all things, keep your faith and your heart on the Lord. Remember, he's the one that has the authority. Remember that. So it doesn't matter all the things that are going on in this world. And you know something? Let's be honest. There are things that has happened in our world that has been worse than the coronavirus. There's been things that has happened that's been worse than you going to the store and there's no food on the shelves. I'm sure some of you can know this. So remember that. Remember, and also another thing is remember what God has taken you through already. He's taken you through some rough stuff. Some of you have been homeless, been out there on the street. Some of you didn't have a job. Okay. Some of you been single and only didn't know where your next meal, or maybe you had children and have been a single mother. I mean, there's so many different things that has happened to you that God has taken you through. And remember that God wants you to have faith. Remember what he's taking you through. So when you go to bed at night, think of Jesus while he slept at the bottom of the boat. Don't be full of anxiety where you can't sleep at night. You know, you go to bed thinking about what you saw on the news. You know what? Personally, I don't even like to watch the news before I go to bed, because sometimes when I go to bed, I get to thinking about what I just saw on the news and stuff, and that worries me. If you're the type of person that worries a lot, you know what? You need to stop watching the news or watching something that will cause you worry. Okay, so always remember that. Okay, remember that God is in control. God has never been out of control. God is almighty, all powerful. There is nothing that he can't handle. Remember, if you go into the coronavirus and you're his child, guess what? You need to cry out to the Lord. Cry out to him and say, God, what are we going to do? Or what you going to do, Lord? What you going to do? This is a time, folks, to pray and pray for those that are sick and going through this situation. If you're not sick, praise God, you're not sick. But pray for those that are sick. Pray for those that are in the hospital. Pray for those that are seeking shelter right now. Pray for those that need food and homeless right now. Pray for the nation. Pray for your government. Pray for your president. Pray that he makes the right decision. Your mayor, your governor of your city, your state. Pray for the leaders that are in this country so that they can make the right decisions for this country and your state and your county. Pray for those. If you need to volunteer, volunteer. You know, but you got to do something instead of worry. God just says this: if you worry, you don't have faith. Okay? If you worry, you don't have faith. You got to go back and say, you know what? God is in control no matter what. There is nothing out of his control. And so if he's in control, guess what? You and I can sleep better at night. Think about Jesus at the bottom of the boat. He slept on a cushion. You better fluff up your pillow. and relax in the midst of this pandemic and say, you know what? I praise God. I'm going to wake up the next morning and I'm going to be fine. You know, but do yourself a favor. Trust God more in your life. Trust God and leave it up to Him to guide you through the storm. Remember, He said to disciples, let's go to the other side. And no matter how bad this is, we're going to get through this. We're going to get to the other side. And because you know why? Because God tells us to. God tells us we are going to get to the other side. So don't worry about it. Okay, so until then, I'll be talking to you later, God willing, and we're going to continue on this series of Jesus's journey to the cross. And remember, Jesus understands and knows every step that He's going to take. And so guess what? We're going to continue on the steps toward the cross and as we get prepared for Resurrection Sunday. It's still coming. No matter what, it still will be here. April will still be here. All right. And no matter what, we are going to get to Resurrection Sunday, and the Lord will be showing how victorious He was in defeating sin and defeating death. So let's keep on this journey. I'll be talking to you soon. You have a blessed and wonderful week. Stay focused, stay prayerful, be encouraged, and I'll be talking to you next time.